Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, of God showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own, already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the truth, love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions with which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want us to look at a Christian experience and the experience of being called of God. Now, in life, there are many experiences we go through. Some are good, some are bad. In life, we're encouraged to experience as much as we can. For many, life is like a playground or a fairground. They want to go on as many rides as you possibly can, going round and round, up and down, and round and up and down at the same time. The trouble is, when you get older, it's not as cheap, and you have to experience other things. 10 places you need to go to before you die. 10 things that you need to do before you die. And that's implanted in us as human beings. So much so that people actually come to a place of worship because they believe that they need to experience something religious, experience a new way of worship. So that when people come on a Sunday morning and to a place, it's not that they want to hear something, but rather they want to feel something. It's not that they want to learn something, it's that they want to experience something. Now, what I want to say in the next number of weeks is this. I want to speak to you about 3 Christian experiences that every one of us needs and without which not one of us could be a Christian. I know that there will be those who speak to you about experiences, even spiritual ones, religious ones. But having a Christian or having some spiritual, religious experience may not make you a Christian. You may have had the experience yourself where people have told you about what they have encountered, what they have heard God saying to them, how they have felt after a certain meeting. But I assure you, that doesn't mean that a person in any shape or any form is right with God whatsoever. But there are three experiences that you cannot live without. You cannot be a Christian unless you know of these in your life. It's not that we're against Christian experiences, we just want the real ones and the true ones, which are then placed before us. And one of these is this, is that a person who is a Christian is someone who is definitely going to know that they have been called by God. And what you find here in our text today is that Paul's writing to a church at Thessalonica. Thessalonica is in Greece. It's about 1,500 miles from Jerusalem. It's a church which came into being through the very ministry of the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. And I believe it was the first one. And what happened was is that he came into the port of Thessalonica, and as was his practice, you can read about it in Acts chapter 17, he went into the synagogue, opened up the scriptures, expounded the scriptures to them. And what happened, it was trouble. People rejected his message. There were others who were Greeks who believed his message. And Paul actually tells them what he actually did. You find it in the first letter, chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As you know, what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And what happened was is that, as he tells them now in chapter 1 of the second book, therefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Now our text now today is taken from that second chapter and verse 14. And this is the experience that he wants to relay to them. And there's a reason for it. They've got opposition from the outside. They're now being deluded, as we read in chapter 2, from below. They're also living lives which may be sinful, and that comes from within. And he wants to remind them of what happened to them, how they were called of God. And first of all, this very morning, I want to assure you that we have in this text that there is a call from God. There is a call which is universal through the proclamation of the gospel. You find it there in that 14th verse, to which he called you by our gospel. And underline that word, gospel, because the gospel is the good news which concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it on a wall there, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what happened was that Paul went out with that command of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the world of the good news of our Lord and Savior. See, they were called through the gospel. You find it again there in Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You find it there in verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, he came preaching Jesus, preaching the gospel. And that is today the very word which God has given to us in the Lord Jesus. It is the good news which comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into this world, and everything that you read concerning Jesus Christ and all that he did and all that he said to the people that he met, to the places that he went to the things that he kept in every aspect of his life, that is the good news of God, which is to us today. God has spoken in these last days through his Son. And that message to you is to the brokenhearted, is to the downcast today. The Lord Jesus Christ did not pass them by. He came to them. He touched their hearts. He dried their tears. He made them strong. There's a message that God this day in Jesus Christ is for any heart that is broken here this day. There is the great message of Jesus Christ that whatever you may be feeling in the account and the deeds which he did when he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. Take your bed and walk. You can say there is news for you in Jesus Christ from God to those who know of sins, that there's the power on earth to forgive you your sins even this day in Jesus Christ. And when you think of this wonderful news which God has given to us, that whole life in which he lived, the remarkable miracles he did, the feeding of the 5,000, how he is able to provide for your needs this day, and the bread that he can give you, which will feed your soul. And the fact that he could raise people from the dead is the wonderful news, that there is life in this world, and the grave is not the final end. We've got the wonderful revelation that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave and he can make life into your soul. Jesus came in and he cast out evil spirits and demons, and he was one who came to break the power of the strong man. Everything of the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world. And that wonderful message that you've got, that even when he died on that very cross of Calvary, is of that message that there are those arms of God which are stretched out today, calling people, men and women, that they may come, open arms, arms which then have been stretched out, bearing our sin and our burden, that people may know the news you've got, that on that cross of Calvary, the great good hope that Jesus Christ made a way from earth to heaven, and you can come to God and be reconciled. It's that message of our Lord and Saviour. And you know what Paul says? Paul says this, because it did happen, is that very gospel in verse 14, which he called you by our gospel. That's the one he came preaching. 1,500 miles, he travelled over land and by boat. He landed there and he opened up the scriptures. And as he opened up the scriptures, there was that message he taught them of Christ and who he was, the Son of God, and why he came and what he did. And through that very message, God spoke to men and women in this city. It's a city of about 200,000 people. It's a great city, but they believed. They believed it. They received it. They knew it was true. And with that, there was this coming where they were called of God. They heard God speak to them. Now, I want to assure you this morning, see, that is, in one sense, universal. I mean, even today, you may not understand it, you may not have recognized it, but whatever that message of Jesus Christ is being made known, there is this call of God which has been coming to you. It's an incredible word. This book tells us the wonderful news, the great news, not that we've been seeking for God and calling on him, but that God has been calling to this world. The very first day that Adam fell, the Lord Jesus Christ came and said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And since that day, God has been speaking. Now, you need to mark it down, because I know that there are those who believe that this is only for certain people. I mean, you think of ministers and priests, and you think of those which are in religious work. But when Paul writes this letter, he is speaking to the church. He's not writing now just simply to one or two people. We think of the way that God called, don't we, in times past. He said to Abraham to leave that land and to search and to look and enter that promised land that God had given. It was a remarkable time where God called Abraham. There was the time when God called Moses at the burning bush and gave him a specific work to do. And in that work, he was to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. There was a call which went to a young boy. His name was Samuel. He may have only been perhaps about 10 years of age. But that's not the point with God. The point was this, is that God came to him one night as a young boy and said, Samuel, Samuel, I've got a work for you to do. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world and he calls these 12 apostles. But it's not just them. He gives the message to those apostles that elders should be called. And this morning, I want to tell you that of all the experiences that a person needs to know in their life, you need to know the experience that God has called you. And that's for the whosoever believes will have everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. And, you know, to hear that testimony of which people can give, that there's the moment in the day where you just hear and you come to know that there is a God and that Jesus is his son and that you've got great sin and he is a great saviour and you come to him. Now, I want to impress that upon us as a church, because we're living in days where, like I said, people want, don't they, perhaps experiences. We all need this experience. But I'm afraid that when the Word of God is taken from our pulpits, that when the Word of God is dampened down, when you can have services where there is no Word of God, you could have many feelings and you can have many experiences. But what you need is the one which is from God. And he does it speaking to us through the gospel. Through the gospel. And he tells them of that. But then there's something else. I want you to know that although this is universally proclaimed for all, it is personally effective for some. Personally effective for some. Now, I don't want to shock you, but you're going to have to learn something about God. Is that God is great and God is powerful. And when God speaks, God will be heard. You find it there in that verse before, in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is this message where God, you see, has a plan. In the world in which we live, God made this world. God has made you. God has made everything. God has a plan and purpose for this day. And God's plan and purpose for these people is that he had chosen them for salvation. And that was through the sanctification of the Spirit, setting them apart, and belief in this truth. And God, when he speaks, will be heard. Now, I know it may be that there have been people who have been here on many occasions, and still they may not have known that very call of God on their life personally. But there comes a moment and there comes a time for all those who God has chosen who will come and listen and hear, and they will come to that knowledge of the truth. You could have listened to 1,000 sermons, but you still don't know what it is that you've been called by God for salvation and the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many testimonies I could give you, but I've just been reading of one, and his name is John Suket. He's the one who acts as Perot in those series. And his testimony is, it's quite remarkable because it takes about 20 years altogether, is that one night he's in a hotel, he's in the bath, and he's thinking about life. I think it's 1986. And he's thinking about the questions of life. Why are we here? What's life all about? And then he gets this into his head to get a Bible, to read a Bible. I'm not sure if there was one in the hotel, or in the version I was reading, is that he went to purchased a Bible. And he would say it was there when he purchased the Bible, and as he began to open the Bible, that the Word of God began to speak to him. You can listen to him on YouTube, reading the Word of God. And then through that experience, it was in 2007 that he came to that final, you know, realization that this is now, it is the truth. And he steps forward. Now, it's like that, you see, for many people in their lives. Look, there are those of you here, you may have known of God calling, but you've not responded. No, it happens. It really does. Think of the experience in life that we have. There's someone who knocks the door and they say to you, I called the other day, but you weren't in. No, you weren't in. No, that's right. I was out shopping. And then perhaps there's others who will phone you. And as they phone you, you're very busy. And because you're busy, you don't pick up the phone. And then there's other things that people may call. They ring the doorbell. But because you've got the music on so loud, you don't hear them. And someone else will phone. And you'll say, well, sorry I missed you, but my battery was dead. Now look, in our lives, there is something like that which happens. You may not realize it, but every Sunday, God has been calling for you. But then there comes a day and there comes a moment and it's different. And this is the moment, you see, is where God, you may not realize it, the God who planned salvation in Jesus Christ, God who chose you and predestined you before the foundation of this world, God who's been working in your life and in your heart, you've been stirred but you don't realize what's taking place. You're feeling different and you're thinking of God, but you still have no notion. That battery was dead, is now got power. And that, you see, where you could not hear before, as Jesus touched those who were deaf, you've now got ears to listen. And you come to church and you come to a place of worship. You've grown up in a Christian home, but then there comes a moment that you begin to listen. And then there comes those moments, because there's an appointed time where God calls. There's the effectual call of God. And he calls when you're home. And he calls when you're listening. And he calls at that moment. And it may be in life that what happens, he takes you apart. And the distractions which were all around you, the things which bothered you before, are being taken away. And now you find yourself in a place where you're ready to listen. and you're ready to hear. And not only that, you find now that you are wanting to listen. Look, God's powerful. You may be today chalked up with every worry and every care. You could be like the Apostle Paul, who was an atheist, and like that man, John Sukit, who was a Jewish Christian kind of raised in a family, but atheistic and agnostic. And then all of a sudden, through all that, God calls people. And the difference is this. He calls you. You come to church. And this day, the sermon's got your name on it. And this time, you're ready to listen. Your heart's broken. Your shame is great. Your need is far more than you've ever had before. You find yourself in a place and you've got nowhere else to turn. And one is calling you. And as he called Matthew by name, and he said, "Follow me." And as he spoke to the woman there, and he said, "Mary, the Master's calling." You will hear him. And you say, "That's for me." You could have heard 1,000 sermons. And you know, I could preach another 1,000 and you still would not receive. But there comes a moment where there is the irresistible, effectual call of God upon one's heart. And for these people, amongst all the opposition and difficulties that come, you know that God is speaking to you. And you come to Calvary. I don't want to scare you. I really don't want to scare you. But I was only reading another testimony this day of a man who became and was a minister. And he was brought up in a Christian home. He went away to train in a Bible college, was Bible believing, had a ministry in an evangelical church, and said that he wasn't saved till one night he realized that he felt his sin. And only then did he come to that place called Calvary. I won't emotionally blackmail you. I only know this: when God calls, people come. When my mother called, I came. When God calls, you come. But then there's something else I want you to learn from this verse. It's not only that it's universal and it is going out everywhere where this gospel is being preached. I also want you to know it is personal and effectual, as it was for these people. It's been effectual for many in this place. I want you to know it's for this purpose, for this purpose. And you need to read this: for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they need to know this. And he reminds them of it. As I mentioned there in chapter 1 and verse 11, "Therefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling." He's mentioned that to them again in this first letter in chapter 4. And there it is in verse then. Let's have a look. I have lost it. Chapter 4 in verse 7. "For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness." And there's a reason. Because now in the difficulties that they find themselves in, through the sinful lives that some may be leading, through the very confusion and unsettling news that they're having about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, people get uncertain and they feel fearful. And now he has to be reminded, they have to be told, "But he obtained you for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." And this morning, you need to know that when God called you to Jesus Christ, it was not then to fail. It was not that you would be lost. And it was not that somehow you would live ungodly lives. For you know your calling through the gospel. It was for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain it to you. we live in a world which has lost the word of God on their lives. Because they lost the word of God on their lives, they don't know how to live. They don't have meaning and purpose. They don't have the sense of what it is to be married or it is to be single. They don't have the word of God upon them, which calls us to those very places to where we live. I've been called to be married and to be faithful. I've been called to live a single life and to dedicate my life for God. There are people who they don't realize that the gifts that they've had given to them. Years ago, people will talk to you like this. They may be a fishmonger or a butcher, and they'll say something like this. This is my calling. It's my calling. Now that gives great dignity. A school teacher or a fire officer or even, you know, it may be a cleaner. It makes no difference. But if you know that's the job that God has given you and he has prepared you for, that puts great dignity on a person's life. People don't know that anymore. And perhaps you don't realize this, that as Peter tells us, that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that you may sing forth his marvelous praises. And that puts another dimension of why you're here today, yourself. I just came. I got up from bed. It's what I do on a Sunday morning. I end up, I go to church. Well, that may be good. But isn't it better to say, he called you for this. He set you apart. That in this town of Narberth and in this place, you would sing forth his praises. And I'm doing what God made me for and God saved me for. That I'm here for that. But I need you to look at this. It's from the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you've been called in life to various offices and functions and roles, when the gospel came, God's plan of salvation is this, is that you yourself will obtain the glory which belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Now, Jesus has glory. Jesus is full of glory. I mean, he is glorious in his being because he's God, but look, there's a glory which is his, where he was victorious over death and over the grave. There is a glory which was given to the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the first and he is the only one and he ascended. And the only picture that we have in Scripture is that when he rose again from the dead, that the everlasting doors were opened, the anthem of heaven sung, the choir was raised, the angels worship him, and so do every believer who comes to him. And the highest place was given. It is all glory. And he says, now he's called you to obtain that glory which is given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And although these people are coming into the church and telling you about the Son of Man who's going to come, the son of sin, the sinful man who's going to come, you need to know that you are going to obtain that glory. And when people frighten you, and they do, don't you? They frighten you with all this news of when the man of lawlessness will come and it's going to be bad, it's going to be terrible. And, oh, I don't know, you're going to be left behind and all the rest of it. He says, now listen very carefully. When Jesus came and called you, it wasn't to lose you, but that you may obtain that which you've been called for. And in your life this morning, where you're defeated and knocked down, no, that is not the calling that God has given you. You may be knocked down and you may be defeated, but he's put another word upon your life that you may obtain the victory. You may obtain it and know it. Until the journey's done, until the race is run, until the crown is won, teach me your ways. And this morning, you need to know God's call on your life. It's to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could give you many reasons this morning of why you need to change your life, even as a Christian. Because the first thing is this: you were not called for that shame, to bring shame on yourself, on your family, on the church, or on Christ. And you know, there comes a moment, and it's powerful, as he tells them, you were not called to uncleanliness, but to holiness. And you called to that which gives glory to God in your life. I could go through the Ten Commandments. You know what's right or wrong. But God's got another word upon you today. And you know that he has saved you and he has spoken to you in Jesus Christ that you may come to him. It's impossible to be a Christian without knowing the call of God on one's life. And once you know the call of God on one's life, you'll not fail. You'll not fail. It's for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.